Blog Talk Radio.
Across the country and around the world, streaming live on the internet, it's Real Estate Coaching Radio, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and secrets of the top producers. Hosted by award-winning real estate coaches, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. I am your host, Tim Harris, and we have a special co-host, which I'll introduce everyone to in a second, and Julie is on the phone with coaching clients. And of course, this is your source for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. So listen in today as my co-host and I discuss what he has done to, frankly, make himself one of the most successful agents in the nation. Welcome to the show today, and thank you, Mr. Heath Moulton, for being my co-host.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So let me read your intro here. It's not very long, so hopefully everyone will be able to pay attention so they can really understand where you're coming from. Heath Moulton is a top producing agent in the Des Moines, Iowa metro area. In addition to being an agent, he's also a builder, and his company, Classic Builders, has built over 500 new construction homes since 2006. He has been in the real estate for over 15 years and has helped hundreds of families achieve their housing dreams. Heath is involved in helping others sell existing homes so that buying a new home is a reality. He is also involved in various aspects of the new home. Who wrote this? Did you write this?
No.
Heath?
No, I did not.
This is terrible. Okay, here, I'll make it easy for you. Heath is an amazing agent who sold over 500 homes since 2006. He and his brothers now own a really very impressive building company, and that's what we're going to be focused on. Ready?
Sounds good.
All right, man.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a little bit more
I'd like to know that person.
Yeah. I know, it's reading more of the syrupy stuff. It's going to start making me feel a little bit amiable. No one wants that.
Yeah.
So how did you get into real estate?
You know, Tim, I grew up in a real estate family. When I was 14, my family had just taken a bankruptcy, and we had lost our home. And my dad was a great salesman, but never great at collecting money from the people he sold to. So he decided to get into real estate, and which was a little nervous with having – I was the oldest of six kids, and my dad thought that this is what he needed to do. And he started working new construction. A guy named Bill Kimberly, who was a big builder in town but had never worked with realtors, told my dad he wanted him to represent him on a one cul-de-sac, 10 lots and two spec homes. And it just happened to be down the street from where we were living, and we just – were blown away with, you know, oh man, this is great. And within 2 years, my dad had sold over 45 custom homes for him. And the next thing we knew, that builder retired. And but Bill told my dad that people would be back, and they were. We represented some of the largest builders in the city. And just growing up in high school, I put out open house signs. I got a digital camera when I was 16. I took photos of homes. I started our first website when I was 18 years old, so about 18 years ago. We were told there'd be two types of agents, one, those with a website and those without, and I think 18 years later that is true. So after I graduated from high school, I took my real estate class, passed the test when I was 18, and I started really assisting my dad in anything that he needed to do, whether it be taking photos, showing homes, you know, putting up signs, working on the website, just that stuff. I did go to Drake University. I graduated with a finance degree there, so that was my main focus those years, was going to school, because I wasn't sure real estate was for me. I had one interview at a financial company. They told me I needed to wear a suit every day and call people and asking them to invest money. And I thought that investing is great, but it's not necessarily a need for everyone, and they can't smell, touch it, or feel it. And I knew that real estate was what I wanted to do because everyone needs a place to live. It was fun. You were selling a have to and not a want to, and it just made sense for me. And so since then, it's the only job I've ever known, and I've really enjoyed every day of it.
Well, so there's two thoughts that that come to mind when I'm talking to you right now. Number one, you have actually, and let's share with the listeners in terms of units sold, how many units are you, how much are you tracking for in 2014? How many units do you think you'll close?
So far, pending and sold to date, I have 178 transactions. So 151 listings have closed or are currently pending in escrow. Really, it breaks down to I have 70 pending listings and 81 have closed and 27 on the selling side. So a total of 178 transactions. The volume on that's about $51 million. Last year closed was 195 with closed volume of $49.5 million.
Right. So this year you're going to increase. It sounds like you should at least have closed and pending that will close in the first quarter of next year, double what you did last year. Is that an overstatement?
Depends how fast we can build the houses and when they close. But, yeah, I would hope to hit somewhere between $65 to $70 million in closed volume this year.
So let's talk about that. Of the volume that you're talking about, how much is new construction versus how much is resale?
I would say 70% of that's new construction. 30% would probably be resale.
You are in Des Moines, Iowa. It is a very stable, predictable, it's like where Julie and I sold real estate, frankly, in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
There really was no boom, but unfortunately, your market suffered a little bit during the bust. Despite that, you guys have obviously been able to build your real estate brokerage and the building business to something that's quite extraordinary in a very relatively short period of time. When did you guys feel it was safe to go back in the water and start breaking ground again?
You know, Tim, we were too young to be scared, to be honest with you. So my brother, who owns a building company, was 19 years old and dropped out of community college after 6 weeks. And this was probably back in 2004, 2005. And he got his real estate license. About 2006, 2007, he decided he wanted to start building homes. So my dad signed on a construction loan for him. He built a house for himself, lived in it, and then sold it. Then he was able to get his own loans, and it really kind of took off from there. So we really were kind of getting going at the end of the boom, but then really hit the bust. And actually, the bust was almost a blessing. When someone else has a fall, someone else usually gains from that. And we probably gained because we had a lot of the largest home builder in the state at the time went out of business. And what happened is a lot of lots came online that were the prices had dropped by almost 30 to 40%. And we were in a situation where we didn't have any debt. We didn't own any land. We really didn't have that many spec homes for sale. And we were able to go out and take advantage of that downfall and buy lots at a very reasonable price. And even in 2008, 2009, we were able to sell a lot of new homes because we were able to build them at a lower price than their resales had sold for 4 to 5 years ago. So not only were people getting a brand new home, they were getting a cheaper home than they could buy this 3 to 5 years ago, because our costs on the land had come down, demand for homes had gone down, so labor costs went down, and so we were really able to keep going and keep growing our business even during the downturn. So I mean that was a real blessing, and we've had a lot of people help us along the way, and so we could talk about that more in the future. But, yeah, we got in at the right time when other people were – so you have competition falling, we're rising. It was great timing.
Well, you know, you're touching on something, and you and I are working off a list of prepared questions, but I'm going to jump off because I know you fairly well, and I think this will be a more interesting twist. There's a lot of folks, Heath, realtors, you know, so putting your real estate hat firmly back on, which I know that's your primary function in life as a, you know, realtor. So a lot of agents basically think that their last great hurrah and their only hurrah will have been during the real estate boom. And you just said something I think that's very profound. You know, not to get all weird on a lot of you guys, of course those of you in California will relate to this, but if you can think in terms of like water flowing, it's kind of like a spiritual thing. The water, when it's flowing down a mountain, is always going to take the path of least resistance at the end of the day. And what Heath is saying is even when everyone else was saying basically the market sucks and there's no money to be made, they were looking for what direction the money was flowing. And Heath said something, you know, when one company or entity starts to suffer, maybe that's a boon for another. Well, that's true. And so a lot of you guys who are listening now, you were very successful in the real estate boom. And, you know, here we are at the very beginning stages of what we believe will be a 7 to 10 year real estate boom. In other words, the real estate crash is over. And for the most part, we're looking at an ever-improving real estate market for the next 7 to 10 years. If you guys aren't enjoying that right now, if you aren't part of that right now, all you got to do is reconnect with what he said, and that you just have to look for where the opportunities are now. A lot of you guys made a fortune off distressed real estate. I get that. Now it's time for you to turn your attentions to where the markets are today. And I have to tell you guys, and like 90% of the country, it's new construction. You don't have to be a builder like Heath and his brothers. You can be someone who works with the builders like Heath and his brothers. So, Heath, how would, if a realtor were to approach you guys, now you have a real estate brokerage, so,
yeah.
But as a rule, if a realtor were to approach you wanting to do business with you guys other than just bringing you a buyer, would you welcome that?
Yeah, we would welcome that. Speaking if I were a realtor out in another location and wanted to work with a builder, as a builder, from what things that we would be looking for in a realtor is someone just bringing us opportunities. Right now we're looking for land to buy. We need more land to do new development. So if I were a realtor out there and, you know, I'd be looking for ground that would be available and going out and talking to farmers and say, hey, would you be interested in selling your ground? And if they are, I would say, hey, what kind of price are you looking at? Get the price. And then start talking to builders to say, hey, I have an opportunity. Are you guys looking to expand? Because a lot of times if you can show a builder that you're out aggressively looking for areas for them to build, then that's a connection that you can make with that builder. You might be able to make a commission off the land, but really what you could say is, listen, I'm interested in selling your product on this land. And that's really where you can make the money, is by developing that relationship with that builder. So that's one thing you can maybe do to get your foot in the door. The second thing I would do is we would respectfully call and say, hey, I want to take you guys out for lunch. I want to show you some areas that there's some lots for sale that you might be able to build on them, and show people, like, here's some opportunity in this area. Here's what's selling. Here's what's not selling. Here's the absorption rate. Have you guys ever considered coming to this location to build? You know, so if I were going in a new area, that's a couple of things that I'd be doing to get my foot in the door with home builders.
Well, and then even if you're not in an area like where you can, you know, find farm fields that might be appropriate for subdivisions, you could still do that in the city. I mean, one of the most successful brokers in Houston, Texas, successful brokers that I know of in the country, that's what he's done. He's basically gone to find infill lots or, you know, places where maybe there were big houses on double or triple or quadruple lots that they could tear down and make into townhomes or condos or just whatever else. So the new construction opportunity is just getting started around the country. And Heath just touched on something. There are a lot of great ideas there, too. Here's another one. Go to the new build reps that are already there. If you're local, if you're national builders or in your marketplace, go to their new build reps, because a lot of those guys probably don't have relationships yet with agents. And think about it. For the most part, the buyers that are walking in to consider new construction probably have a house to sell. That new build rep has to have a list of agents or a realtor that they refer that potential seller to, so they can get the new build, right? So
yeah.
Befriend the new build reps and maybe get some listing referrals that way. There's lots of different ways. You know, look for the opportunities, and if you don't see them, get off your butt and create them. So, Heath, I remember this was a challenge you had in your business, and this was some time ago, but I remember there was a big national real estate brokerage that was opening up a discount company in your market. Do you remember this? A flat fee, if I remember correctly. Right.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them.
Right. And
we've had a couple of them.
They're
no longer around, to be honest with you.
Well, that's a trend that's also starting in the country again. Is that we're starting to see these flat fee and these discount guys.
Yeah.
So
how did you combat that,
and how did you combat that at the time?
You know, to me, the flat fee brokers, I think it's hard when someone doesn't call you or you don't call them and you never know they're going to list it, and then they just put their house up for sale with them. And you could either say, you know, that crazy seller, that'll never work. Well, it's really on you, because if they were for sale by owner and you never contacted them, and then they went to a flat fee broker, there's really nothing, you know, you have to blame but yourself. You know, so what we do is, you know, if I need listings and I need resale listings, because people that sell homes, they buy them when they sell them, we have to be on the forefront of calling those people, you know, and I still do that every day. We, you know, people that are selling their home, 90% of the time, they're going to buy another one. So if we call them and say, hey, we're really looking for a discount broker, then that's where you can have that conversation with that person and say, hey, what I tell people is this. How much is the tank of gas in your car? It's $60. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to drive around town, write the names of addresses with sold signs with that discount broker that you see. If you can give me 5 addresses that they have 5 sold listings in our town, I will fill up your tank of gas and buy you dinner.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know what? No. I would say this. No one, I never had to buy a tank of gas. But really what you got thinking, people thinking is, the question you got to ask, and that's where you have to know your scripts, to say, hey, listen, Mr. Mrs. Seller, I could charge you $1 to sell your home, but if I never sell it, are you ever going to pay me the dollar? No. So if you really want to move, are you really looking for an agent that's going to sell your home, or are you really looking for an agent that's just going to, you know, sell your house for a flat fee? Do you want it sold, or do you want to pay a flat fee? Well, I might say, well, we want it sold and a flat fee. I'd say, hey, listen, I could get your home sold. If I can net you the dollars you need, I have a track record that works. Can we set up an appointment to talk about it? If you get in the door, you can meet with these people. You can show them your history. Show them that you're the guy to sell the home. Give them the confidence. The flat fee broker really is not competition to us.
No, they're really not. I mean, you can also drill down on your list sell price ratio, the days on the market, and, you know, you touched on something huge there, guys. A lot of these flat fee brokers, they'll make their $500 up front, and after the house is listed, it goes into the MLS usually, and, you know, who knows what happens as far as the service to the seller thereafter. But the bottom line is that the flat fee broker has made their money, and so, you know, they're maybe not even calling that seller, and that seller's experience is not anything similar to yours. But at the end of the day, if you just point out the fact that that flat fee broker has made all of his money the second you sign up your listing with him, and you're not getting paid until the house sells, in other words, you become partners with that seller until the house sells, and of course that seller has to be happy with the amount of the money that they're going to make from closing, so they're always in control. I mean, that really does put in light the fact that these discounters really are, I mean, honestly, they're not really doing much for the sellers in most markets. They're just basically taking listings, charging their $500 or whatever it is. And you can also point out the fact, go to the MLS, point out to the seller the percent of buyer-side transactions that the flat fee brokers do versus the seller-side transactions, because in most markets what you'll find is the flat fee brokers really don't really even try to sell their listings. They're just picking off buyer leads from the leads they're getting from all their listings. So, I mean,
yeah.
You know,
it's
you expose these guys
to have your
what
house.
They are. They're not – right.
Yeah. It's your benefit,
yeah, exactly.
if your house never sells. Because the more signs they have, it's better advertising for them.
And, you know, the funny thing is the company that came to your town was one of the Warren Buffett companies, wasn't it?
Well, they're not a flat fee company, not that I know of. I mean, there is Home Services is in town, which is owned by Warren Buffett, but they have not gone to a flat fee system. So there's other companies, Next Generation, things like that, that were here.
Well, so
but
you're
really,
not,
they're not here.
Your real estate brokerage is a independent family-owned real estate brokerage, and you are swimming in the waters with really these big national publicly traded monster companies.
Yes.
How and a lot of our – and we find, Heath, and I know it won't surprise you, but we have a lot of brokers that are, I would call, boutique and medium-sized brokers that use our services because of the fact that they want to learn how to differentiate themselves. So how have you guys been able to differentiate yourself in light of the essentially – you know, very well dug-in competition?
Yeah, I think, I mean, our history just, you know, it'd be hard for someone new to come in and be an independent company, but we've been selling real estate in our area for 20 years, and it's our name has some recognition, so that's helped us a lot. I think really I tell people this is that, you know, people buy from people, they don't buy from companies, and, you know, if you do a good job and you treat people with respect, you get the job done, you sell their home, They're going to tell their friends about that. And having a lot of sold signs in town is the best marketing for your town, for your business, I should say. So that's helped us. I think for me, the benefit to the small company is that, you know, if one of my agents has a problem, the seller can call me directly and speak with me, and we can get the problem worked out. So I stress that, just the level of service that they can deal directly with someone that can make a decision. If you're dealing with a company that's a home services, a Warren Buffett, I tell people Warren Buffett's not going to take your call, and their general manager probably is not either. I said, so, if there's an issue, we can fix it. So I think that level of service, the personal service that you can give people, that you're not some corporation that's really just cared about how many transactions, that you're actually individually cared for that client. And I think to me, we're never going to have the best website compared to those big companies. We're not going to have a lot of the services they offer. You know, some of the things that we do is we have 3 moving trucks. I start out with 1. I have 3 now. They're booked up a lot of weekends. We advertise in town that anybody wants to use those, they can have them. The schools, nonprofits, we want those trucks to be used. That's great advertising for us. A couple other things that we do is we make a donation every year to the schools, to the Booster Club. I mean, this year is $50,000. Things like that help. You know, we can make those, we can pay that money versus like paying a franchise fee. And that's the best advertising that we can get in our town. And so I tell people that you have to sell your benefits, who you are and who you're not. And you don't, we don't really talk about who we're not. So I focus on the positives of a small company. And if you focus on the positives and don't bring up the negatives, the sellers and buyers don't either.
Well, because the bottom line is they're doing business with an individual, and they obviously, if they like you at the end of the day, I mean, it's this old funny thing about, so you call 10 people that recently purchased a house, and you ask them, the name of their listing agent. They'll all remember the name of their listing agent. Then you ask them the name of the broker that the listing agent works for, and none of them will remember the name of the broker, because at the end of the day, people are doing business with people. So,
Right.
It's funny when I listen to you talk, Heath, I wrote this question down. When is the last time you said something to a seller that wasn't from a script? I mean, because you are clearly scripted in virtually all communications with sellers, and that's the reason he sounds so professional, is because he's using scripts. I mean, everything you say is scripted, isn't it, when you're dealing with buyers and sellers?
Yeah, the key is to know what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, but not make it sound like you're just a can, So
was that a script?
No. I tell people this, I'm not talented enough not to work on a script. I would be very intimidated to do this radio show, without any questions in front of me. The best actors in the world, the best news anchors, they all work off a script. Scripts are, I use them as, they're a reference when I get nervous sometimes, even today, talking to sellers. But a script gives me the confidence to know what question I'm going to ask next. Scripts are really questions for me. When I call for sale by owners, I'm asking questions. I was always told whoever asks the questions controls the conversation. Whoever talks the most dominates. We want to control where the conversation's going. A script allows me to do that. So when someone calls me and asks a question on a house, what's the price of the 123 Main Street? I always throw them a question back. Great, thanks for calling on 123 Main Street. What's your name? Are you looking to purchase a home today? So before I give them that price, I want to take control of that conversation. I tell people the best people in the world, the best actors in the world use scripts. And I'm not as talented as those guys are, so I need to use them as well.
What are your thoughts on buying buyer leads? I mean, you've got a real estate brokerage now. You have agents working for you. I'm sure you every day have agents coming into your office asking you about this latest whiz-bang idea and that. What are your thoughts about buying buyer leads from Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com? Because, you've been in the business long enough that you've seen all these trends come and go. I'm just curious what you're – and again, by the way, that question wasn't on our pre-written questions, so
yeah.
I apologize if I'm getting you off your script.
We don't do it. Yeah, we do not buy leads. So I believe that not that it's lazy or a cop out, but I believe that you know, if you, I just would not want to become dependent on buying my business. I would really question myself if I'm buying leads, but yet I'm not prospecting for sale by owners or expired listings. You know, those for sale by owners or expired listings.
Here's the thing, right? I mean, you've seen this too. There's this total bifurcation that's happened in the market over the last 7 years. There's buyer's agents, and it's really versus listing agents, right? And so you have these agents that have never learned how to list houses, and then you have you who've learned how to list houses, and the buyers come secondary, which is the way it should be. And so you, when you have not even a ton of listings like you do, when you have 10 or 15 or even 5 listings depending on your market, if you use a service like 800 Home Hotline or if you just do different basic things, you'll have so many buyer leads you have to beat them off with a stick. And that's the thing that I personally do not understand, that our industry is not clear on that anymore. Buyer leads are the easiest thing to get in the world, and yet agents, Heath, there's 100,000 agents right now between Zillow and Trulia. They're spending an average of $322 a month on buying buyer leads. I don't get it. Can you? You don't get it either, I'm getting, so you probably can't help me figure that one out.
If you focus on listings, the buyers will come.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
That's just plain and simple.
Again, it is. And in a market like, you know, where Heath sold real estate or sells real estate, where Julie and I sold real estate, you're going to have 20 or 30 listings, and then when you get up to that number, you're going to get so many buyer leads. In some markets where the market's just super hot, you might only need 5, and you'll have to be, you know, it's just crazy. Anyway, that's my soapbox. So what are your thoughts about having a coach?
I do. Tim, when I signed up to get a coach for the first time, we were at a conference, and I was so ashamed I did not tell my wife for 3 months. And I wasn't ashamed, but she wouldn't understand the cost of it. And for us, you know, that was like half a house payment, which was a lot of money, $1,000 a month. We had just gotten married. Her rent payment used to be $600 a month. It was something that I looked at as saying, I didn't go to graduate school, but this to me is like getting a graduate degree in real estate. And a coach for me was somebody that's going to hold me accountable. It was someone that was going to motivate me. It was someone that was going to help me not to be complacent. The coach really, you know, when you were my coach, you know, I'll never forget some of the things we talked about. I, you know, pretending like there was $1 million in my desk drawer, and the only way I could get it out was to get a listing appointment. You know, I would have never developed that mindset, you know, without that guidance. You know, I used to do a deal where I was not going to get up and eat lunch, go to the bathroom, get a drink until I got a listing appointment. And when you get that mindset to say nothing is going to stop me from accomplishing my goal today, and that's to get a listing appointment, then it will happen. And to me, it was that having a coach was a huge benefit to me. It helped me focus in on what the dollar-producing activities of the day were. And it also helped me to realize that a lot of the stuff I was doing wasn't making me any money, and I needed to hire someone or delegate that stuff off to someone that could do it on an hourly rate.
How long did it take for you to be receptive to, because you're a great coaching client. You know, you're very receptive. You always, you know, took the bit and ran. But, you know, you see agents now that work for you, I'm sure, that they don't embrace the fact that they really can create whatever kind of life they want for themselves. They say they want to do it. They might even go through the motions, but at the end of the day, they're not willing to do the work. Why do you think that is?
It's hard. I mean, I think a lot of people in this business have come from other jobs, you know, and they've been given stuff to do. That's a salary mindset. They have a mindset that Heath is my boss. I'd be like, no, I'm not your boss. You're your boss, you know. And so, really getting people to say, I own my own business. I have to take my responsibility for the outcome of this, you know. And really, I think very few agents are so strong in the mindset to say nothing is going to stop me from accomplishing my goals. Too many people are there, you know, the sales game is won in between your ears. The agents today that are successful don't let one or two or three rejections stop them from making the fourth or fifth call. They look at it as I'm one call closer to getting a yes. You know, I'm looking for the person that wants my help. I'm not looking for the people that don't need it. And so they're not rejecting you. They're just, rejecting the service that you're offering. So too many people are just not strong mentally. I think a coach, though, really can. To me, a coach works on your mindset more than anything. It's that mindset of becoming, of not letting anything stand in the way of you accomplishing your goals, helping you stay focused, and really giving you the action items that you need to take so that you can hit your goals. But for speaking of agents that don't hit their goals, don't do it, it's either laziness, they want someone to tell them what to do, and they're still in the mindset of I'm an employee versus an owner.
Well, I mean, but Heath, I agree with everything you just said. And you said a very Midwestern word, which I totally and completely appreciate because it's the truth. It's the truth word. It's the one that actually cuts through all the Mickey Mouse and all the excuses, laziness. I mean, truly, at the end of the day, it is laziness. When you know what you're supposed to do and you choose not to do it, it's lazy. It's not because of anything external. It's just because you've just made a decision not to take action and move yourself in the direction that you want to go. You could argue that it's a belief thing, it's a motivation thing, it's a scripts thing, it's a accountability thing, it's a this, it's that, and it's the other. But the truth is, really, at the end of the day, it's you making a decision that you're not going to work. You know, Heath, what is it, if you think about this, you know, it's really quite amazing. What you have to know to be wildly successful in real estate, not new construction, but, you know, working resale into things, what you have to know, if you really drill down on it, the scripts, the objection handlers, the pre-listing pack, the setting the appointments, the pre-qualifying, the basic core stuff, is so much easier to master than all this other crap that agents put themselves through, having to figure out this widget and that widget, this CRM, this lead follow-up program, this direct mail campaign, all this noise and static that's out there. You know, it's so easy. I kind of feel sorry for agents who want to know the truth because they're getting inundated every day with all these, you know, done for you, we'll sell you leads. You don't have to do anything. Just sit by and pick land out of your toes while the leads just show up in your email. It's all a lie. They're just not willing to do the work. But at the same time, Heath, our industry, the leaders in our industry, aren't willing to say, hey, agents, stop being lazy and get to work. Is that a stance you take with your agents in your office?
Yeah, if they want to buy leads, we don't pay for it, so they're going to do it themselves. So, yeah, I think for me, if we just, you know, it's just not a practice that we have. To be honest with you, Tim, my advertising budget is $5,000 a year. We don't advertise in the paper. We advertise online, you know, and we're not going to buy leads. Once I think you would have success, maybe you sell a couple houses, then, you know, you think that's all you need to do to get business. So we want to get business by going out and making relationships with people, calling our past clients, calling our sphere of influence, calling for sale by owners, calling expireds. We meet a lot of clients in open houses through new construction. A lot of people aren't successful in that, but, you know, we're able to go out and meet people and maybe not just sell them the house that we're in, but sell them a custom home. And, you know, if they don't like a color or a cabinet, we can change it. So, yeah, it's just not something that we have to do. I don't think it's a practice that most successful agents are doing. And I think,
well, that's true. I mean, what you just said is true. We did a survey of our top agents, and you know, we have thousands of people that are enrolled in a class or participating in some program with us. So we, you know, keep relatively decent track of the top ones, and we asked them if any of them are buying leads, and they all said no. And I asked them in the survey, you know, and some of them in person, were you buying leads before? And a lot of them said they were six, seven years ago. And I asked what changed, and this is something good that all of you guys should be paying attention to and listening. The fact is the leads have become oversaturated. So if someone pops on one website, fills out a form, and you're buying that lead in essence, that same person is popping on five other websites, filling out forms on all those other websites, and that same lead is then being sold to, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 other agents. So the reality of it is that it's simply oversaturated. There's too many people buying buyer leads. Now, I remember very clearly when, for example, Zillow came online, you know, 7, 8 years ago. It worked. It did. There were a lot of guys that were getting huge amounts of business from it. But then what happened is they wanted to expand. They added more agents, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And so now we're at this turning point. And agents listening, please listen to what he had to say. You know, at the end of the day, if you don't list, you're not going to last. And we're coming up to a point where the buying buyer leads thing is going to get to the point where literally it just doesn't financially make – I think personally you're already there, but it's not going to make any financial sense, where literally you will not be able to justify the expense of what you're paying for what you're getting as a result. And if you don't accept that that's the turn in the road that's in front of you and embrace the fact that you now, today, at this very moment, have to decide to become a listing agent, you probably won't be in the business 12 to 24 months from now. I really don't see any exceptions to that. Embrace the fact that there's so many agents that are pursuing being buyer's agents. God bless them, wish them all the luck in the world. You need to go the opposite direction, and you need to learn how to be a listing agent. Remember, guys, if you need any help from us, freecoachingcallsforagents.com, freecoachingcallsforagents.com. So, Heath, as we round up today's radio interview, and I really appreciate your time today, new agents getting into the business, if an agent walks into your office today, and you probably have this happen every day, and they're asking for advice, Heath, what do I do to be successful like you? What are the three things you tell them to do, you know, no matter what?
Well, that's a great question. If someone knew what it took to be a successful real estate agent, I think they'd probably open up a coaching company like yourself. But the cool part about real estate is this, all different types of you could, if you're a man or woman, you could be young or old, you can be, it doesn't matter, all different kinds of personality work. I think that's a great part about real estate is that you also don't need like some advanced degree or go to school for 2 or 4 years, you know. If you want to do it out of high school, you can do it. That's a great part about real estate. The three things that I think someone needs to do is they need to have a plan. They need to have a plan of action. What am I going to do every day that's minimum standards in the business? The first day you get into real estate, you have no sellers, no buyers. What are you going to do? You need to have a plan of action. Have a morning schedule. For, you know, 8 to 10, I'm going to call new, you know, I'm going to call people I know. 10 to 12, I'm going to go out and tour listings so I can learn the inventory. You know, noon to 3, I'm going to prospect for sale by owners expireds. I have a plan. So a business plan would be number one. Number two, is what I would tell people to do is get involved with a coaching company.
Heath? Are we confusing what the point of this radio show is today?
The Tim Harris Coaching Company.
Thank you, timandjulieharris.com.
Tim and Julie Harris.
God, man. I'm not going to interview you again if I take you off your script. Woo! Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Contact Tim and Julie. Because I think, to me, a coach, they're going to teach you the scripts. They're going to keep you accountable. They're going to be able to help you through the ups and downs. They're going to be there for advice. These people are successful. They've been there, done that. They're going to tell you what works. They're going to help you save money by not spending it on stuff that doesn't work. So I would have a plan, get a coach. And number three is you have to make yourself known in your community and where you're working and have a plan to do that. People don't know, are not going to buy or sell from you if they don't know you're in the business. And I'm not saying you need to go out and buy a couple of billboards or buy a moving truck, but you need to call your sphere. You need to, you know, you need to go out. I would go out and knock on my neighborhood. I would knock on 50 doors a night. I would give people my cards. I would set a goal to knock on 200 doors the first week in the business. To me, I think nothing beats hard work. People appreciate today someone calling them, you know, writing them a handwritten letter, knocking on the door, just shaking hands, saying, hey, I know you're not looking to buy or sell your home, but if you do, I wanted to give you my card. I'm in the real estate business. This is your greatest investment that you have. If you have any questions, I want to be your source of information.
Let me jump in there. Again, guys, you're hearing a great script, but let me jump in there. You just said something, and I want everyone to pay really close attention to what he said. People appreciate that personal contact. You don't make a personal contact through a direct mail piece, through an email, through a text, through a Facebook post, through a tweet, through anything digital at all, and you never will. And I sense there's an undercurrent that's happening, not just in real estate, but societally, where people are sick and tired of all this online, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, connecting. And people that are, like, if you're always, you know, it's the old Wayne Gretzky quote, you know, be where the puck is going to be is the punchline, basically. The puck is, I think, I'm getting the real feeling that the puck is moving back towards agents that have the skills. Well, it never really has moved away, but more so it's, you know, you're going to see agents that have the skills that are willing to make the personal, actual, honest-to-God contacts, really excelling in leaving all the other agents in the dust. You know, 10 years ago, if we were talking about how to be successful in real estate, we'd be talking about have a website, have an email campaign. You know, you got it. That's what's going to differentiate you because people are going to see you're technologically savvy. But nowadays, everybody is technologically savvy. You know, it's crazy. And so what's going to make you different in real estate is your ability to communicate, your willingness to be of service to others, obviously be scripted, obviously have energy and enthusiasm, but really getting out there and, you know, being belly to belly. And it's not a white belt, you know, high-pressure sales thing. We're talking about, like what Heath said, going out there and basically letting folks know that you're here to help if they need any help. You know, it is interesting. The pendulum is definitely swinging back towards those agents who are willing to make the effort. This technology, guys, it's spoiled us. It's made us lazy. And at the end of the day, it's not going to last in terms of being effective for us to build our real estate practices. Please internalize that. Embrace the fact that if you want to make a lot of money, you know what? Guess what? You have to go out there and you have to help people. You have to help people by knowing your craft better than everybody else. Heath mentioned touring homes. Absolutely. You know your average days in the market. Know all the statistical, analytical Mickey Mouse that's associated with your real estate market so that you're confident. Know what went for sale. Know what, you know, what has gone pending. Have all that stuff. You can, hey, have it all written down on a piece of paper and fold it up in your back pocket. That's fine. That's what's going to make the difference, which is amazing, I'm sure it is to Heath too, because we are being told the exact opposite stuff like 10 or 15 years ago. Oh, you got to have a fancy website. Now everyone's got a fancy website, and fancy websites you can get for $50. So now it really comes back to knowing what to say and how to say it and truly having the mindset of service. And Heath, when I talk with you, you know, when I listen to you, that is the vibe that I get from you. You know, yes, you're making a profit. Yes, you're providing a great place for a lot of folks to work. Yes, you and your brothers have built a really impressive building company. Yes, yes, yes. But at the end of the day, what I get the feeling I get from you is you are truly coming from the mindset of service. Is that something you have as a prominent thought, or does that just come organically to you at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're really in the business of helping families, you know, buy their dream home. I tell people that people work with people they like. You know, it's hard to develop a relationship where they like you if you're not speaking with them, talking to them face-to-face. Communication is more than just the words that you say. It's how you say it. It's how you say it with a smile on your face. It's, you know, it's calling people, asking them how they're doing. You know, to me, just an email campaign, it can't give the personality that is really behind the words. So, you know, for us, that's where, you know, people buy from people they know. People buy from people they like. If they don't know you, then you got to meet them. You know, and how are you going to meet them? You know, and so it's hard. You know, I don't believe in advertising. You know, my dad just spent $200,000 a year, and I decided that's not the course that we want to take. So, you know, we've got to do other things by going out and meeting people, talking to them on the phone. People can say yes if you're on the phone with them. Just sending them an email, all they have to do is click. Most people want to say yes, and most people don't want to reject. So, you know, basically, real estate to me is a numbers game. The more people you talk to, the more people you meet. Everyone that you talk to in life is a potential client. The guy at the grocery store could be a potential client. You know, it's natural for me to tell people, hi, what's your name? My name's Heath. What do you do? Where do you live? Oh, great, I know where that is. You know, we just kind of flow into natural conversations about talking where people live, how long have you lived there, if you were to move, where would you go next, how soon might that be? Questions like that. Get people talking about real estate, and people want to talk about their home. And when you get them to start talking about their home, it could lead to other questions down the road to help them out, for you to help them out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the blessing of this business. I mean, we are in an unbelievable – this industry, it is a blessing. You know, it is one of the only industries that you can still get in with virtually, you know, the barriers to entry really don't exist. But the, you know, ability to stay in doesn't really exist either. It really comes down to your own abilities, and I think that's incredible. There aren't very many other businesses that are out there anymore where you can get in after, you know, spending $1,000 on your real estate license, and you get to decide your fate. You get to decide how much money you're going to make versus a normal business where you are capped out, where you do have limitations. You can open up a Subway. You can open a McDonald's. You can open up a pie shop. Those things are going to hit an impasse at some point where you're not going to just simply decide to make another 100 or 2 or 300,000 extra, which you can in real estate. Take more listings, right? So, guys, embrace this business. Embrace this new real estate recovery. And, Mr. Heath Moulton, I really appreciate obviously, I appreciate the ability to be your coach. I really, you know, I have wonderful memories as well. And, you know, the fact is, guys, Heath is a really good example of someone who you guys should all emulate in your business. He is low-key, no ego, focused on being of service to his clients, embracing the challenges that he's faced in his market as an opportunity to reinvent himself, which obviously he has. A lot of you guys could do the same thing. So, Heath, if they wanted to get in contact with you, maybe send you a referral or whatnot, how can they do so?
Yeah, again, my name's Heath Moulton. It's my website is MoultonRealtors.com. MOULTON, realtors.com. My email is heath@wesellowa.com, WESELLIOWA.com. So, yeah, we service the whole Des Moines market. It's a growing community. It's a great place to work and live. So, yeah, if they know anybody moving to Des Moines, we would love to help them out.
Well, how about anyone moving to Iowa in general? You can also connect them with maybe somebody outside of your natural market too, right?
Yes. Yes, we can help
perfect.
Them. We can help them with that.
Cool. So, everyone, thank you for listening today, and thank you for helping us to make this radio show the most popular listen-to and download real estate radio show on the net. I really appreciate that. We're getting our numbers from the first half of the year, and I have to say I'm stunned and amazed how many of you are listening now, but also very pleased. So your homework from today's radio show is to share this radio show with as many other agents as you possibly can. Help us get the word out that this is a new real estate boom for those who are willing to embrace the opportunities in front of us. Mr. Heath Moulton, thank you very much for being today's co-host. I really appreciate it, man. Great catching up with you.
Hey, same to you, Tim. Good luck. Best wishes to you and Julie and your new baby.
And thank you. And by the way, I'll be following up with you about helping your new agents in coaching. I got that email.
Look forward to it. Hey, take care.
Thanks, man.
Okay?
Bye.
All right, bye.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.